Global stock markets finished the week in turmoil. The US dollar plunged in value. Governments across the world went into crisis mode as they tried to figure out how to react to Donald Trump's tariffs. China hit back with a 35% tariff of its own. The EU, which was levied with a 20% tariff, must now decide its response. Tomorrow, European trade ministers, including Simon Harris, will meet in Luxembourg to sign off on a list of countermeasures to previously announced 25% tariffs on steel and aluminium. But a wider response to Donald Trump's so-called Liberation Day tariffs has yet to be decided, and the impact of those tariffs and the likely EU response on the Irish economy remains unclear. We're joined in our studio now by the Minister for Finance and the President of the Eurogroup of Finance Ministers, Pascal Donoghue. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Justin.
We now have a clearer picture of what is facing us. We know that there is going to be a 20% tariff on goods entering the US from the European Union. Can you give me your assessment as finance minister of the impact this will have on the Irish economy?
So it's consistent with the forecasts that the Department of Finance published a number of weeks ago. Based on what we currently know, our outcome, our judgment is that we will be moving into a lower level of growth, a lower level of job creation, and it will have an effect on our public finances. But we still see our public finances for now being in a resilient and strong position. And it is important to emphasise two points in relation to that, Justin. First, there is much yet still to happen that can have an effect on our economy. But secondly, we're approaching this from a strong place. We've public finances in surplus. We've 2.8 million people at work. We have a growing economy. And we will use those strengths over the weeks and months and years that await to get our country through this.
When you were in with us, I think 2 weeks ago, you said it was very possible that between 50 and 80,000 jobs that would have been created or kept within the economy won't be as a result of these tariffs in a worst case scenario. Have we hit that worst case scenario with the announcement this week?
No, and that is for a number of reasons. Firstly, the European Union has to make the decision how and when we respond back. And the EU is approaching this in a very calm and coordinated way. And Taoiseach Simon Harris will be at the heart of this in the engagement that he has in Luxembourg tomorrow. And then he will be travelling on to the US for further engagement. Secondly, it is, of course, possible that the US could take further measures in the time ahead that could affect Europe, Ireland, or other measures that could affect the rest of the world. So it is important to answer these questions honestly so that we are clear about where we stand. But again, if those developments take place, we will be negotiating within the European Union to come up with what we believe is a proportionate response back. And I'm very confident that EU solidarity will hold with respect to that. And secondly, we're doing all of this with an economy full of such talented workers, strong employers, and also, as I said, an economy overall that does have strengths to us.
But at this point, the projection of a possible impact on 50 to 80,000 jobs, that remains, does it?
It does indeed. And what that would mean is that Ireland would still be at a very high level of employment, a level of employment that would be significantly ahead of where we have been historically and at other points of crisis.
The Taoiseach Simon Harris, as you mentioned, he is due to travel to the United States on Wednesday to meet the US Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. Trade is an EU competency. Mm-hmm. It's not decided by national governments. So what's the purpose of Simon Harris's meeting with Howard Lutnick?
Threefold. Firstly, other EU governments and trade ministers are engaging with the US government directly, and they do that to complement the clear work that the EU Commission is leading on our behalf. So his visit is complementary, as other governments are doing at
the
moment.
He's bringing a message from the European Union.
And he's given a national perspective to us.
Is he looking for special pleadings for Ireland?
Oh, he'll be making the case for the strength of our economy, the value of the relationship between the US and the EU and Ireland. I think it's entirely appropriate that the Taoiseach Simon Harris engage with his counterpart in the way other European governments have and will complement and add to what Commissioner Šefčovič is doing. Simon Harris has been in regular contact with the EU Commission, very intensively so, and will do so before and after this meeting. This is about pulling together all the strengths that we have at EU central level and also the strengths that European Union governments have. So the EU is putting its best foot forward, and is Ireland.
The EU's response to these tariffs is going to be crucial for this country. There are some people who believe that, Europe needs to go in hard with a response, with countermeasures of its own, in order to put itself in a stronger negotiating position. And then there are some who say that the EU should bide its time, see what the bond markets do, see if the China tariffs force Donald Trump's hand to change his mind. What's your view of how the EU should proceed?
Well, so the Irish perspective in relation to this, as outlined by the Taoiseach, as outlined by the government, is that we do believe a measured response is necessary. It is still our very strong desire to seek, and the worst be avoided by negotiation rather than by the global application of tariffs and a global trade dispute persisting over an extensive period of time.
But are countermeasures necessary to put yourself in a stronger negotiating position?
I believe a degree of countermeasures will be needed, but I believe we need to do this in a graduated way. You asked me the excellent question earlier on, you know, where do we stand versus our initial assessment? We have to recognise that the US may take further actions, and we also have to recognise that the EU response back to this could take time. So therefore, just to answer your question explicitly, I do believe the EU does need to respond back, but we do need to do so in a proportionate way to create space for negotiation and be willing to create and take further steps in the future if they are regressively needed.
Both France and Germany have indicated a willingness to aggressively target the American tech sector with countermeasures. Tech is a huge employer in this country, a big, big taxpayer in this country as well. If that happens, are we in big trouble?
So the technology sector is indeed a big employer within our country and is one of a number of taxpayers that we have within our economy that do matter. Would that have a further effect on our economy? The answer to that question is yes. It's recognised in the different forecasts that we have done. But over time, if the EU is not willing to look at the full suite of options that is available to it to respond back, it heightens the risk that where we are now becomes the norm and we don't end up in a phase of negotiation. The government believes all issues and options should be considered, but we will be making the case for a graduated and proportionate response back.
And does that mean then that the measures against the technology sector, that you don't believe they should form part of an initial response, but they should come later down the line?
We believe all measures will need, unfortunately, to be considered, but we do believe the first phase back should be one that is proportionate.
Okay, we already know that the EU is going to respond to the previously announced tariffs on steel and aluminium by targeting US products which cross the Atlantic. And US bourbon was on that initial list, with Donald Trump then threatening a 200% tariff on wine and whiskey in response. Is it still likely that US bourbon will be on the list when it's signed off this week?
So that decision will be made in the coming days. And it's not for me to give a forecast, which at the best of times is hard to do. In the uncertain environment we're in, it's particularly hard, Justin. But we have made the case for not taking measures that could have a disproportionate impact on the Irish economy and parts of the European economy. And we have made that case to the Commission.
And do you think you've been listened to? Because you're not the only ones. Ireland isn't the only one making that case. French wine producers, Italians, they also are worried about that aspect.
I do believe we are being listened to. But overall, the interlocutor that we need to negotiate with is the United States. It's not really as such where we are within the European Union. What we have to do is strongly make the case for what we believe is the best response back. The catalyst to all of this harm is the original measures that have been taken by the US, not the EU unilaterally taking measures. And the United EU has responded back in a very phased and careful way. We believe that should continue, but we do have to acknowledge if negotiations are not successful, then many additional measures will need to be considered as part of an EU response back.
Do you believe that that Donald Trump's administration wants to come to the table and negotiate?
That is unclear, but the track record of President Trump at other points has been to prefer a negotiated outcome. One of the reasons why I believe the EU responding back in a very strong and proportionate way over time is we do need to allow the consequences of those who were first movers in these tariff policies for the effects of those policies to also become clearer. And I believe it's possible a combination of those effects on the American economy and America also seeing that the rest of the world is willing to act but will prefer to negotiate, could open up a space in which that negotiation will take place.
I want to ask you about the domestic response to these tariff announcements from the United States. We know that some sectors, like the drink sector we've been talking about, are facing an immediate impact. Will there be government supports or help for businesses which are immediately impacted by these tariff announcements?
We want to engage with firms who are affected by it, but it will be on a firm-by-firm basis. It will be through the work that the IDA and Enterprise Ireland can do. One of the reasons why Martin Hayden is travelling to America, who's our Minister for Agriculture, and Simon Harris is doing this work on our behalf on trade policy as our tarnishta, is try to mitigate these effects happening in the first place. The two ways of responding back to this, firstly, will be how we can assist firms and employers to find new markets as this is unfolding. And then secondly, the work that Minister Jack Chambers is doing in maintaining investment in our country's present and future, despite this economic development taking place. They, I believe, are the most effective ways of helping.
Will there be any wage subsidy scheme? The Labour Party is suggesting that there should be a wage subsidy scheme, a short-term scheme similar to one that Germany has in place to keep workers in their jobs during a turbulent time while their companies seek out those new markets for their products.
So I'm not aiming to bring that proposal forward at the moment. I don't believe an economy-wide wage subsidy scheme in the way we had during the COVID pandemic would be appropriate. And I am hopeful that our efforts to engage with employers in combined with the high level of employment that we already have here in Ireland will offer a sufficient response back. But what we will do is we will evaluate what steps are necessary, but we need to avoid doing anything that has such a cost that it in turn could create other difficulties for us in the time ahead. We have to keep our economy safe. That means supporting and protecting jobs, and it means keeping our public finances safe too.
But without a wage subsidy scheme, employers, for example, in the drinks industry, who might have to lay off workers immediately because they're going to sell less product in the United States, and then go looking for other markets, perhaps in Asia or in the EU. Without a wage subsidy scheme, they're going to lose touch with those employees, aren't they? That those employees are then in the market looking for other work.
And we will seek to find ways in which that link can be maintained. But this is where how we can assist those employers in trying to find additional markets will become so critical and crucial. And that's the work that we want to do. I have to just be honest in conveying that because of my determination and determination of the government to make choices to protect our economy, and by that I mean jobs, our ability to invest in our public services, it will also mean that there will be other things that may not be possible to do. We will engage firm by firm, employer and employer. We will consider what kind of responses are needed, but we do have to acknowledge the real challenge here that we are going through a period of adjustment in which employers will need to find new markets and will need to find new ways of engaging with the US. And that first and foremost is what we need to support.
One of the concerns being raised by IBEC on behalf of the drinks industry here is around the new health warnings on alcohol bottles. They want those suspended because they say it creates another burden for exporting distillers and brewers. Is that something that you are open to examining?
I do believe that that will be examined. One of the pieces of work we need to do is reassess where we are with the competitiveness of our economy overall. Peter Burke, who's our Minister for Enterprise and Jobs, will be bringing forward proposals with regard to this in the coming days and weeks. And we need to assess if in any way is government doing anything that will make it harder for those amazing companies in our food and beverage sector to continue to be successful in the future. So therefore, I do expect that issues like that will have to be carefully examined again.
What about sick leave for employees? There is a proposal that sick leave, that paid sick leave for employees was to increase by 2 extra days. The Sunday Independent is reporting today that that is going to be delayed because of the current situation. Can you confirm that?
So what I can confirm is that it has been examined, and Minister Peter Burke, I expect, will be bringing forward proposals to it. Cabinet has not yet been briefed on it, but I expect that will happen soon. But when Peter reaches a recommendation in relation to do this, he will be doing so in the context of the government actively having supported workers' rights over the last number of months and years. The work that we're doing in auto-enrolment, the work that we've done in statutory sick pay, the work that we have done in seeing the minimum wage in our economy increase from €8.65 to €13.50. So all of this work has been done to support workers within our economy. And I know Minister Burke is examining this issue, but has yet to brief Cabinet on
it. Is your expectation that that sick leave proposal will be paused then?
My expectation is that it will be re-examined and that pausing of it will be examined. But as I said, that has yet to be brought to Cabinet, but will, I expect, happen soon.
Obviously, you have to take a view now of where the public finances are and where they're going to be as a result of the tariff announcement. So is the proposed VAT cut for the hospitality sector in doubt now because there could be a pinch on the public finances?
I am still committed to measures like that and to other measures that can support our domestic economy. But the budget is in October. My overwhelming priority, and that of Minister of Jack Chambers, is to support our economy and keep our public finances safe. What we will be doing in the next few weeks is publishing our assessment of where the economy stands at the moment and then continuing in a very structured way to evaluate different proposals and then make decisions on them in early October. But the government does remain committed to measures like this, but we need to ensure that what we do is affordable.
Is it likely, though, that you will have to hit the pause button on measures which are outlined in the programme for government, which would narrow the tax base given where we are right now?
But the programme for government already indicates that we are willing to consider that in advance of an economic shock taking place. What I want to ensure is that we don't make decisions in 2025, 2026 that end up creating challenges for our economy in 2028 and 2029, because it is so important that we can convey the strength that we have within our public finances and the ability for that to play a role in protecting jobs and getting our country through this shock. So we will consider those measures. That is already outlined in the programme for government. And in the many years of making these decisions, I'll never make a decision that I'm worried around the corner could hurt us in a different way, which is why we have surpluses in our public finances today.
The tariff announcement this week, it has raised fundamental questions about Ireland's reliance on foreign direct investment and US multinationals going forward. Do you accept now that that model is going to have to change for the Irish economy, that there will need to be more investment in indigenous industries and less reliance on FDI coming into the country?
We have always been extremely strong supporters of indigenous industries in Ireland. They're the largest employers that we have in our country in overall terms. And I'm not actually going to be sending a signal here that we are looking to walk away or weaken our investment and our support in international employers. On the contrary, I want to emphasise the message that if you are a big employer, international, European or Irish, with all of the change that is going on at the moment, I believe the merits of being in countries that are predictable, that won't surprise you with sudden policy changes and that are good long places to invest in, I believe that message has never been stronger or more compelling. And I want to emphasise that message for Ireland and indeed for Europe with the global shifts that are now taking place.
Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us today.
Thank you, Justin.
We'll hear from Northern Ireland's Economy Minister, Caoimhe Archibald, after the break.